Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the Mid-Morning Commodity Market Report. Let's see how futures are trading. Hard red winter wheat for December is 698 and 3 quarters, up 3 and 3 quarters. Soft December wheat is 644 and a half, up 4. September corn, 496 and a half, up 9. December, 470 and a quarter, up 5 and 3 quarters. September soybeans, 1361 and a half, up 39 and a half. November, 1324 and a half, up 37 and three quarters. September soybean meal, 431.60, up 1810. September soybean oil, 42.87, up 44 cents. August live cattle, 123.40, up a nickel. August feeder cattle, 155.32 and a half, down 12 and a half. And October lean hogs are 84.77 and a half. They're up 37 and a half.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzolo of Global Commodity Analytics out at Atchison, Kansas. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave. How are you doing today?
I am doing well, and the soybeans are even doing better. Go, yeah. Go. It has ticked in the November 1329, and by many technicians' accounts, that was a key point to hit. And it seems to me, if we see some follow-through into next week, there's not a whole lot of space between now and the annual high.
No, and I think this is where the Pro Farmer Tours help push us along more towards a 2009-type model year with the market coming back. I think, simply put, Dave, that tour, until it started this week and finished up this week, the corn crop probably stopped growing, and then the Pro Farmer Tour, especially with the Illinois number, the Iowa number, and the Minnesota corn yield numbers, I think that's where the trade came back to the idea that even with hot, dry weather, we're better off buying beans and even at the expense of maybe selling corn and kicking that ratio, that bean-corn ratio, back up to another new high, and that puts us back close to an August 09 high, which we talked about last week. That was just under 2.9 or just a little bit over 2.9 on a weekly, monthly close. And so I think that's where the Pro Farmer Tour in the beginning of the week was maybe a little bit more friendly corn. But by the time we came through Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, we saw a big change in the mindset of the trade that even 100-degree temperatures in Iowa next week is going to do more damage to the beans than the corn. And so corn now is back to being a follower.
Well, it is simple math. A year ago, we were talking about, because of drought conditions, the fact that there wasn't any peas in these pots. But September proved very beneficial, and the peas showed up, and the actual ending yields were pretty good for soybeans, surprising many in the trade.
Yes. And
this year, though, when you start going out west and counting pods, the pods are not there because in many fields out west, it's so late that it's still blooming in many locales. And if there are no pods, there can be no peas.
I think you're 100% right. That's where the weather has been flipped this year, and the market attention is such that the corn was damaged last year, but the beans were able to come away pretty much unscathed in many areas. Mm-hmm. Not all areas, but many areas. This year, the trade thinks the exact opposite. But I would go back, and I hate to be a harbinger on this, but I would go back and look at some of those Pro Farmer Tour pictures from Iowa and Minnesota, and when I saw the immaturity of the corn ear in a vast area of the Western Corn Belt, the first thing that I started to think about was, what would I rather have, 100-degree hot, dry weather or the potential or the possibility of a frost coming early if I were a grower? And I've talked to some people that are in Iowa or people that have been talking to people in Iowa. And although the opinions vary because of the weather that they've seen, I think the drier parts of Iowa would much rather not see 100-degree heat because their corn is so far behind. And so I think you do still have quite a bit of opportunity to curb a lot of yield potential off the corn crop in the Western Corn Belt. The Pro Farmer pictures brought that out, but the tour state yields have not. And I think that's a major distinction that I take away at the end of this week anyway.
Yeah, because we're looking at potential and the crop isn't made yet.
No, and you're looking at a crop in Iowa that has 48% good to excellent, and in 2011 we had 67%, and in 2009 we had 77%. You're talking about an almost 30-point difference between where we are in the corn good to excellent conditions. And when you look at the 30-day percent of normal precipitation for Iowa, almost half the state, or almost two-thirds of the state, is looking at 25% or less of the normal precip. So I've got to think that if Cedar Rapids and Denison, Iowa are 100 degrees next Thursday, that's going to shave the corn crop in some areas as much as it's going to shave the bean crop because of that immaturity of those ears.
Now let's talk about marketing then. What is a hedger to do with 1322 and three quarters November soybeans?
I think this is where you play the market like last year. You get very respectful of not selling cash bushels too much. Nothing different there. Doing paper positions, nothing different there, Dave. I think now the question becomes, if we're dry another 10 days in the soy complex, it's not how much supply do we cut, it's where does the price have to go to cut and choke off demand. Last year that was around $575 to $600 a ton. At the Gulf, that would equate with the current basis levels of the Gulf at around between $13.50 and $14 November beans. So that's my hedging plan, is hedge up on paper positions as you get to $13.50 and really press it as you get to $14.
And, well, also your importers of soybeans, i.e. China, they're looking at this too, and they're thinking, man, beans may be $13.50, they may be $14. Do I want $13.21? Or do I want to wait for South America? And they have bought up. I mean, it is amazing. They have bought up left and right. In fact, all of our importers of beans have. And we're 50% sold on the new year, and the new year hasn't even started yet.
Yeah, I think this is where the bean trade and the corn trade have a big disparity in the demand side and the end user. I think, generally speaking, the end users, both domestically and globally, just aren't where they need to be if we have a short crop in corn. I think they've been well ahead of the curve when it comes to the beans, and that's why you bring up the huge point to me that that's where the demand really matters as far as how high can the prices go, because beans are in a supply weather market right now. I think that's the bottom line. We have good demand. We have, you know, nice demand, but it's not a demand that you can really hang your hat on when prices go up 40 cents a day. And I think that's the key that we need to learn from that. So, again, at $13.50, $14, you're getting to levels from last year at the Gulf, and I've got to think that because we supposedly have more beans and meal potential out of South America as far as supplies sitting on the ground right now, that that's going to start to attract some business away from us.
Meanwhile, over on the corn side, the non-commercials are net short. They went net short in July for the first time since 2005. What will it take to get those nervous Nellies to go ahead and get rid of their positions?
I think a wheat low is what we continue to wait for, Dave. The trade seems extremely comfortable as long as the European wheat market continues to vacillate and not want to trade higher, that they don't want to trade the Chicago market higher in wheat, and therefore the wheat continues to be an issue for the corn. Now, having said that, I think as we go through this next 10 days, one of the big problems that the corn has faced and the wheat has faced is that they've each been a problem for each other, that the trade has said, generally speaking, this market doesn't need to go higher because there's plenty of competitive supplies. Most recently, it's been wheat doesn't need to go higher because there's plenty of competitive supplies of corn. I don't think the trade's going to be able to get to say that as much. And I referenced today, before we go, we have to talk about that Decatur bid. I've got a posted bid of 61 cents jumping here in Decatur, Illinois, of 176 over the SEP. I've heard from Chicago rumor mill talk that we're over 260 a bushel for spot bids in Decatur, Illinois. That's 750 corn, if true. And so
gotta run.
That's the bottom line.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, sir.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 10 o'clock Central Time.